Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Is it Thursday, Rob? I don't even know what day of the week it is.
It's Someday. It's Someday. Oh, my God.
Happy Kevin? Thursday. No, you're listening to us today, so I'm telling you right now, listeners, it is Thursday. It is Thursday.
You're so decisive. Oh, my God.
Rob?
You're yes. My little calendar go. Yes, yes, it's Thursday. I'm not disagreeing with you. It's Thursday.
No, you had something to say. I'm excited.
What? Oh, my God, Kevin. I was caught unawares today. I have to tell you. Please help me. So I got to the point where I'm like, I need to have wine delivered to the house. Yes, this is first world problems. I'm like, I need wine in this home.
We did tonight. We had delivered today.
So I've never ordered alcohol before. I've never ordered it before, right? So usually I wait till like some wino's asleep and then I just steal it when they're sleeping and then I just hurry back up to my apartment.
Or people bring it as a gift to you.
People bring it as a gift. It's like Manischewitz, you know, whatever, whatever. I see. Are you drinking white wine? Is that what you just had a sip of?
I do have a little. I had a long day and I'm.
You can do whatever. Listen, you can do.
I taught today. The one day a week I taught, and I'm having a little blanc.
Has to unwind a little bit, folks. Okay, so I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to this new thing. I'm gonna order the wine. Great, great, great. And I was like, perfect, perfect. So I jumped to the shower, and I'm showering, and all of a sudden I hear, I'm like, what is that? That sounds like my door. Why would my door be buzzing? Whatever. Then my phone rings. And I had to stop Whitney Houston's I've Got to Dance with Somebody, which is the second song in my three-song shower rotation of Whitney Houston's Essential Hits. So I'm not totally clean at this point. I'm like, all right, fine, what's going on? So I pick up the phone. They're like, hi, your wine is here. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, can you bring it up? And he's like, yeah, I'm outside your door. And I said, I'll buzz you. And he goes, no, I'm outside your door. So I'm like, answer the door, because every time it's a delivery guy, it's usually someone who's not very attractive. And it's so just open it. What do you care? Would you know my luck? It was like the most attractive,
beautiful delivery
guy. I could only see from the eyes up because he was wearing a mask.
Well, of course, but those eyes for days.
But those eyes for days, eyes for days. So I'm just in a bad mood now. I'm just
well,
in
then
a foul
did you
mood.
Show him? I'm sure you really seduced him by showing him your alphabetical cast album wall. Can you tell our listeners what
he saw me
please?
Wearing a Dayglow yellow sunshine towel, dripping wet. Squinting at him, looking like Zero Mostel in like a rehearsal picture from Fiddler. You know, like, I don't think this young gentleman was interested. Hey, Jude, don't let me down. Let's talk a little bit about Happy Birthday, Steve.
Oh,
congratulations to everybody that made this thing happen. This was not easy. This was not easy. The level of coordination that had to go into this thing is just absolutely incredible. And so a big hand to Paul over at Broadway World. Broadway World? Yeah, Broadway World. No, Broadway.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Mary Mitchell Campbell. And,
yes.
And it's the not-for-profit that they're helping.
Listen, brilliant tracks. You know, God bless Raul Esparza for trying to host and then, you know, just being like, I can't, we're moving on. Good. I mean, he got fucked in that, and God bless him because he still has a positive attitude. So thank you, Raul. Thank
he
you.
He was tweeting all the way through that. He was supporting, he was giving love. It was lovely. I was heavy into the Twitter for the entire concert.
You are.
It was, yes. He's
a good man. He's a good man. Yes. I was, first of all, it was so cool to see so many guests that we've had on the show popping up. It was like Joanna and Chip and Jason Alexander is going to be a guest coming up pretty soon, which we're very excited about. I liked it. I'm so curious, though, about some of the choices, and I just had some questions about some of them. That's all. It's very hard to do a Stephen Sondheim tribute because, you know, there wasn't a lot of up-tempo.
That was definitely ballad heavy. Now, what's interesting to me is that usually when we do these concerts and usually, you know, people in the business who have done these, you know, you guys know you've done this before, and people, laymen who have been, people in the audience, you should know, a lot of thought goes into these. Usually, Rob has been the producer and director of many of these kinds of concerts where it's like many songs put together. And Rob is always and I don't want to speak for you, but I think you are always trying to figure out, like, you know, we can't have too many ballads. We got to, you know, it's like putting together a cabaret, you know, and you really have to be careful. And but, a lot of, you know, they're vetted when you have a concert when everyone's live. But what I get the sense of, Rob, is they just said, everybody, pick your favorite song. You can do whatever you want. And it's okay. It felt like there nothing was vetted, which I'm not saying it had to be, but consequently, we had a lot of very, shall we say, serious Saunders.
And let me tell you, I still cried like a baby. Donna Murphy sending in the clowns was gorgeous. Chip's story about Into the Woods was great. I like how he put out his green hat for everybody.
Yes, that was very touching.
Who else was really, really good? Okay, I'm in the minority on this because I've talked to a couple of people and said this was my favorite number of the evening, and everyone looked at me like I was fucking nuts. I love Someone in a Tree.
Oh,
sorry.
I thought it was really weird. And
I loved it,
and
folks. Sorry. That's all. Yeah. I loved it.
That's the tweet.
the Ladies Who Lunch. First of all, I'm like, Christine Baranski. I'm like, this is it. You've slayed me. And then they're like, oh, and here comes Meryl Streep. And then here comes Audrey McDonald. I was convinced that Hillary Clinton was going to be on the fourth verse. And I was like, if you can get all four of these legends in one place. First of all, when is Hillary going to go into a show? Why didn't she sing anything?
She's basically in the Broadway theater every other night, it feels like. I mean, she and Bill go to see theater constantly.
They are
dedicated theater goers.
She could have done Everybody Says Don't. She would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
She could have maybe sung something from Assassins if she wanted to. She and Bill could have sung Happiness from Passion. There's duets.
Or Unworthy of Your Love. She could have sang Unworthy of Your Love.
There's lots of layers there. Chelsea could have sang The Glamorous Life. Bernadette was my favorite.
What's Bernadette doing?
I want to sing all the songs Steve wrote as exit music.
She was like at our kitchen table. She was just
Bernadette, you might be the last song of the evening.
I want to sing incidental music from Fowies.
No. No, Bernadette, you actually need to sing like a song.
The utility. I want to sing the utility.
One time Steve was in an elevator with me and he hummed, and I want to take that tune and sing it.
No, Bernadette, we can't do that. Is there anything else?
No One Is Alone, a cappella.
Okay, great, Bernadette.
It's yours.
it's all yours.
Lovely. What I enjoyed, though, was that everyone did bring a reverence to it. They brought,
yes,
of course they have to.
Yes.
But there was such a, and there is a craft to what he does, and it was enjoyable to see these artists who are the top of their game doing an artist who is at the top of his game and bringing these songs to life. And this is going to go down in history. I mean, people are going to watch this 100 years from now. Some of them. And it really is. It's special.
I cried. Listen, like I said, I cried like a baby. God bless Paul and Mary and Raul for putting this whole thing together and all the people that it took to edit it and coordinate it. It was just really fantastic. And I think one of the cool things about watching it was that every single person who spoke had such reverence for him. And it was so clear that they knew either at the time they were performing it originally or when they were performing it now, they knew it's almost like they're being handed like a sacred text.
Oh yeah. Oh, and you know, yes, definitely.
And there was so many adorable things, like Sutton Foster's kid. It was adorable. Like you said, Kelly O'Hara, Donna Murphy singing Send in the Clowns. Where's that revival? Put her in. It was great. That's it. I got nothing else to say.
Rob, for instance, have you seen this? You're not a Twitter person, so I don't know if you've been able to see it. There's this an actress. She's an improv person from LA. She's had some measured success. Her name's Mary Neely. Have you seen her videos where she's lip syncing famous duets and scenes of the American musical theater canon? Rob, it is truly.
No.
It's not my favorite thing, but it could be. But I would like if you're on Twitter, Mary, Neely, Mary Neely. I'm telling you guys, she's like, articles are being written about her. It's a huge thing because there must be like 15 to 20 scenes. She finishes it up. The last one, her opus, is the opening of Beauty and the Beast. She plays all the characters. She's got more wigs than Moira Rose. That's a Schitt's Creek joke. And I cannot describe it to you, but if anyone's watched these videos, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's really just well done.
Can you do a Moira Rose impression like every gay man in New York City?
Do you have a favorite thing, Rob?
I do, and it's a funny favorite thing. Good. I can't talk about it too much, folks, because I do not want to ruin the surprise. You need to watch it, and then you need to get back to me. Folks, there was, in the 1980s, a fantastic comic duo known as French and Saunders. That is Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders. You know them. You know Jennifer Saunders because you have watched Absolutely Fabulous at some point in your life. And you know who Dawn French is because she was in The Vicar of Dibley on PBS, which I know you've all watched at some point. French and Saunders was one of the funniest sketch comedy TV shows to come out of London. Well, these two women are brilliant. They are hysterical. And they are putting a bunch of their older clips up onto YouTube. Or I should say, I'm just discovering a bunch of these clips. And they have a little bit of a theater bent inside of them. I watched two clips that put such a huge smile on my face that I would like to pass them all off to you as well. So the first thing you're going to do, folks, is you are going to go onto YouTube and you are going to YouTube search French and Saunders, S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S, musical film parody, where they literally recreate parts of the 1980 version of A Chorus Line with full Alison Reed hair. They are very, very detailed in this. I don't want to give anything more away. I just want you to Google YouTube French and Saunders musical film parody. Get ready to laugh.
Found it.
Great. But now here's the hard one, folks. This is the one that made me, I'm not ashamed to admit this, I almost peed my pants laughing. This other one they did, you know those, if you've seen Company and original cast recording, you will know what this is. They do a mockumentary, a 10-minute mockumentary, about two washed-up opera divas coming into a recording session. And it's like one of those like great performances, PBS documentaries. And they're going to sing French and Saunders with Sarah Walker, who, if you don't know her, is an incredibly acclaimed opera diva. And so the real Sarah Walker comes into the sketch and sings with them. What they sing and how it's performed, it is, they capture opera singers so brilliantly in this. The running joke is that Dawn French literally will eat anything under the sun. And when she eats it, she just looks at the camera and taps her throat and goes, and just mouths it. It's for my voice. No matter what she's eating. This thing made me laugh so hard. I won't even tell you what they end up singing, but it's French. You have to find this. Now, this one isn't on YouTube. It's on what's known as dailymotion.com. Ooh. And so I will put up a link for this in our podcast description for this week. But it is French and Saunders featuring Sarah Walker. The sketch is called Opera Divas. Get ready to laugh and get ready to recognize, especially if you're one of those, I don't know about you, but I remember like I was in like choir. I couldn't sing, but there were some people there who could like, my voice, I have to save the gift.
Oh, the gift. We always joke about the gift and we tap our throat and we're like, oh, the gift. Yes, the gift.
Yeah, and they play this perfectly. There's an actor, and I don't know who it is, who plays their producer, who is literally like every single hanger-on who's not really talented but thinks he is. And like, it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. So it's French and Saunders featuring Sarah Walker, Opera Divas, that's mine. And then go on to YouTube. You can watch, which is on YouTube, French and Saunders musical film parody. And then go look at some of their other stuff. If you don't know who they are two geniuses. I'm hopefully that you'll recognize them from their independent work, one in Absolutely Fabulous and the other one in The Vicar of Dibley. But for the longest time, and they still do sketches together, which is great. Go watch it. It's so funny. That's mine. I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want you to... I don't want to give anything away.
You're not oversaturated. I've already found it on Daily Motion. I want to say, Rob, this is exactly why I'm, after all these years, I'm so thankful that we have this podcast because you bring up something that I think, just when I think, oh gosh, we've run out of favorite things. And then all of a sudden you are like, this is so brilliant. I love British humor. I'm a huge Little Britain fan. And I love Matt Lucas and that world. But I'm also, Sutton and I are huge Ab Fab fans. That being said, I don't know French and Saunders at all. I know of them, but I've never watched. So I'm so excited.
Did you watch? I'm so sorry to interrupt. Did you watch Absolutely Fabulous?
Of course, always. Yeah.
So you know her. You know
of
course.
Oh, I know her very well. I don't know the other one as well. I'd never watched The Vicar of
Dibley. It's so funny. And the other funny thing about this show is that they were given one of the largest budgets in BBC history. So the recreations of things, like money was spent on these things.
Brilliant.
It's really, really incredible.
So thankful. That's really, really
also,
fun.
You can also YouTube a cat commercial. There's a very funny sketch they do with a cat commercial. It does not fit into the umbrella of what we're doing, but I would love for you to look for it anyway.
Yes. So this is Fantastic.
Sarah Walker, French and Saunders. What do you got, Kev?
That's a really good one. Well, mine is not nearly as funny as yours. I mean, I wish it was. Mine's more of a memory, favorite thing. So we lost an artist that I think I wish we would have interviewed. He is somebody that I'm worried will be completely, well, I think he already is a little bit, completely forgotten to the annals of musical theater history. He wrote two shows that were on Broadway. He just died this past week. He died at almost 100. He was 99 years old, born in 1920. His name is Milton Schaefer. Milton Schaefer is a composer of the American musical theater, but he has his roots in classical musical theater. He wrote two shows that unfortunately were not hits. And he's somebody to me that reminds me of just how fickle this business is. Rob and I have interviewed over 200 plus people. We've heard from all of them. And most of them, the theme, whenever someone says, oh, Kevin, what do you hear from the most people? And I always think, my go-to thing, Rob, and I'd be curious what you say, but my go-to thing is, what I learned is that a lot of people got quote unquote famous or had their break or whatever you want to call it because opportunity met talent. They had the right chance, but they were prepared to meet it.
Yeah.
So they needed an opportunity. And so what makes me think of is that so many of these people that we're interviewing are the people who got the chance. There are tons of people, though, who have the ability, who have the talent, that just never got the right chance at the right time. I think Milton Schaefer is one of them. I do. I really do. So the musicals that he wrote are in 1962 and 1965. The first one is Bravo Giovanni, which starred Michelle Lee, Cesare Seppe, our old, one of our first guests, George S. Irving, and his wife, Marie Carnitalova, who are a famous Broadway couple. So he wrote Bravo Giovanni, and then he also wrote Drat the Cat! Exclamation point, with she Leslie Ann Warren and Elia Gould, and the famous Barbara Streisand, which she made famous because she was married to Elia Gould. She was married to Elliot Gould, who was in it at the time. Yes. And so, yes, She Touched Me, which is actually sung by Elliot Gould in the show.
Will never be the same.
I love that song. So the reason why I want to bring up Milton Schaefer, because there's tons of people who wrote two shows that never did anything, but I want to
look
put
at
on my
shows,
my musician hat for a minute and tell you that when you look at his scores, because I listen to these, I have the albums, I have the LPs of both, and I listened to both again. I've listened to them before, but in Drat the Cat, I have the score on my computer, so I followed along the handwritten score. And so Milton Schaefer was he studied piano, classical music. He wasn't just a pop song writer like so many of the people of the Tin Pan Alley days were. He was of another ilk. He was of more of like less Irving Berlin, more Vernon Duke. Vernon Duke, of course, was a classically trained artist with a complete, off the top of my head, I don't remember his European name or his Russian name, but it was not Vernon Duke. It was like Dushevsky or something like that. But these were classic musicians. There were a whole bunch of them that wrote songs versus the ones who were more sort of pop songwriting at the time period. So Milton Schaefer, though, he traveled to Europe. He studied with the famous mentor Nadia Boulanger, who was the mentor to people like Aaron Copland, Virgil Thompson, Philip Glass, Michel Legrand, Astor Piazzolla, all these great classical musicians. And Milton Schaefer studied with him. And then Milton Schaefer came back to the United States. He toured a little bit as a concert pianist. And then he worked as a music assistant to Bob Merrill of How Much Is That Doggy
in the window
fame. That's right. Of course, he went on to do Carnival and so many other things. But he was sort of his piano player, his right-hand man, his assistant. Vernon Duke then signed him to Frank Music, as in Frank Lesser's Music Theater Company. And then he eventually wrote Bravo Giovanni and Drat the Cat. Bravo Giovanni, you guys, I have to just give you a quick summary of the plot because it is the wackiest, weirdest show. Basically, it takes place in Rome, and there's a pizza guy who has a down like friends and family kind of pizza place, and then like a big conglomerate opens up next door. And so the guy that has like the smaller pizza place, in order to compete, decides, because the guy's going to take away his business, through friends and all of that, they're going to build a tunnel underneath, and they're going to go into the kitchen of the other place and then take their food and then bring it over to the other place and sell it, because they're taking so much business, they're going to take from them. So the set literally was like a set where there was above ground and below ground shenanigans that were ensued. It was George S. Irving was the competitor, and then the Cesare Seppe was the local guy. And then, of course, the local guy becomes big and then wants to outsource and do all these things. And then the whole musical is sort of about that he almost becomes the bad guy. He almost sells out, if you know what I'm saying.
And that's what it's about. I hope he doesn't.
If Michelle Lee has her way, he will not, and he doesn't. And it all gets summed up in the last 5 minutes, just like a musical does. The score is very of its era. However, Milton Schaefer was a great musician. He was a good composer. He wrote with great harmony and texture and a palette that is more than just boom-chup, 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 which is what you heard a lot of times from lesser-known artists. And I guess the reason why I want to celebrate him and make my favorite thing and make sure he's not forgotten is that he was an artist who was special. In my opinion, I think that for whatever reason, he didn't get the right chance at the right time to give him his big hit show. I think he just, the luck wasn't with him for whatever. And I'm sure there's, of course, with a musical, there's 1,000 reasons why it doesn't work. But this was not these two, Drat the Cat closed after a week. And then Bravo Giovanni, which was supposed to be a big hit, closed within 76 performances. And incidentally, that was nominated for a Tony Award and not for best score and not Forum. Fun fact.
What, so, really?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Forum didn't get a nomination.
Mm-mm, not for best
score. Wow, that's so cool to know. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Bravo,
so
Via Johnny, I think also has such great songs that it is Thin Crust, Thick Crust.
I hate you. I hate when you do stuff. You like make me so mad because you're so
and
funny.
And Mary Marinara. Stuff. Which was Michelle's Lee's part that was cut on the road. It was originally done by Priscilla Lopez. But then
Pepe Pesto. Pepe Pesto was a fun one. That was
Heavy Pesto.
Well.
Is that one called Heavy Pesto?
Pepe Pesto. Yeah, Pepe Pesto.
Oh, Pepe Pesto. Great group number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great group
number. No, really, really solid. Like, really, really fun. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, in 1963, it was Oliver, Bravo Giovanni, Little Me, and Stop the World, I Want to Get Off.
Oh, well, those are actually really great scores. I kind of now see why.
You know, it's very interesting. And you know who won? It was Oliver. Oliver won.
Oliver won? Really?
Yeah, for best score.
So that Little Me score, though, is so good.
Oh, well, of course. But that was, you know. So I just think it's interesting. And I think that Milton Schaefer really unfortunately didn't get the chance that he deserved. And so I just would like to. And if you have a chance, go listen to Drat the Cat. Bravo Giovanni is on Spotify.
Oh, great.
And it's very Italian. I mean, you have to, if you listen to the original, and that's really all you can listen to, do put on your sort of like time traveling goggles and really. Cesare Seppe was a metropolitan opera baritone. It was one of the first times that we really, not first times, but it was very popular to have the crossover. And, you know,
didn't he do Carmelina too?
The original. That's right. Mm. Not the recorded one. He was not recorded, but yes, I think so.
I think so. Yeah.
But both scores are hold up. They are tuneful. They right. are of the 60s, of the golden age. And if you are someone who loves that era and those kinds of scores, and you have not listened to these, I would highly recommend listening to these two scores because they are fun. And the Drat the Cat particularly, I think, has some really great tunes in it. And,
if you can find the
Leslie Ann Warren, Leslie Ann Warren really,
she was great.
Really something special. She really was.
She was great.
And she was so contagious. And so the Drat the Cat one, I should note, the pressing they made of that is not an original cast recording. It is a soundboard of the original production. And so you're not getting it, the quality is a little tougher to listen to, but you are getting an actual live performance.
And they also did that concept album, remember, in the early 2000s?
Yes, with Jason Groff? You can also listen to that as well. I think Susan Egan is in that.
Based on what you're saying, that's not what I should be doing.
That's lovely. No, it's good. I'm an original person. I like to go back to
the soundboard.
And I will take the soundboard, and then I'll listen to the. I'll probably, after I get off with you, I'll probably go listen to that studio recording, actually, just to compare.
Nothing be the same.
That's a good song. Also, I Like Him. There's a song called I Like Him that she sings. There's another song called Steady Steady that, Steady Steady is from Bravo Giovanni. I'm sorry. I Like Him is from Drat the Cat.
Drat the Cat is Steady Steady. Bravo Giovanni is a steady.
I did keep thinking of like our good friend.
Sergio?
Yes. The whole time I thought, oh my goodness. You know, they thought to revive this in the 80s with Sergio Franchi. You know, they wanted to.
Every time, up for the role.
Every time a guest, Rob, says the Coconut Grove Playhouse, I look at you in the interview because I want to start laughing because all I can think about is Coconut Grove.
I talk to a Manny Eisenberg. We talk about the maybe. I come back. I do a Bravo Giovanni at the Ritz Theater. And they say, como se dice, no interest from the public. Is that how you say it? In the English,
you could speak in Italian the whole time, like all of his lines.
Italian. I have a gluten allergy. I cannot eat the gluten. So they make a special pizza for me. It's made of cardboard. It was a me and a Diahoti. We were in the show together. We were in the workshop at 890 Broadway, or as I like to call it, Ochenta Niente Broadway.
That was fast translation. That was impressive.
I am a fast, but I cannot get out of my contract with Bally's in Atlantic City. Como se dice? My wife is telling me it's because I am not talented. That is why I don't do the show. Como se dice? She say I am untalented for 15 years.
Rob speaks Italian.
Now she's telling me a dinner is ready. And to spite me, she has made an all gluten meal.
You've been watching a lot of Sopranos because you're Italian.
Thank you. That's all I know.
Or Golden Girls. I don't know. Maybe you've been watching those Sophia episodes. You've been watching.
Oh, I love those Sophia episodes where B. Arthur and Estelle Getty try to play Italians.
With Estelle without a wig. Where the flashback ones. I love.
Oh, I love this one. Salvatore. First of all, your face always looks frozen in those things. Salvatore. Come on, you big bacha galoop. We gotta go. She never blinks. It's always done in a monotone.
Oh, God.
That really I got to tell you, I don't. I'm. Her line readings were so bizarre.
Which one, Estelle or B?
Estelle Getty, but so perfect. Oh, B. Arthur. What you think she has weird line readings too, B. Arthur?
Well, not weird, just brilliant. Like just out, just not. And the way her stares and her. I've been watching Gold. That's sort of been my comfort food at night. It's my comfort. But I love watching them when they're not talking. That's my favorite, when they're listening.
Yes.
And the takes. Like these are old comedy queens.
There's a hurricane a-coming. And they're like, what did you say, Ma? And just like no blinking, there's a hurricane a-coming. Salvatore told me I could feel it. They're like, all right, Estelle.
I love it.
Me and Estelle, we do a torture song trilogy at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. But we only do...
Palazzo de Cesare.
Palazzo de Cesare. We only do two lines. You have to get to the buffet. So she come out, she go, you're gay, I don't like. I say, mama, I'm gay. She go, I love you. Curtain falls, everyone go get shrimp cocktail.
It's like Bloomer Girl on Amazon Prime.
Bloomer Girl, I know do Bloomer Girl. It's like my wife always tell me, you dumb bastard. Well, make sure you watch French Saunders and talk to Signora Milton Schaefer about this play.
Indeed.
About the Bravo Giovanni.
And you can listen to a little Sergio Franchi, too.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci, friends.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.